Evening, Lord, for a little midweek recharge, refresh, revitalizing, a little midweek fellowship and sharing amongst the brethren, receiving encouragement and exhortation from one another. We thank you, Lord. And we do as your word says, Lord, and we come boldly before the throne of grace and we receive mercy. We thank you so much, Lord, for you are a God of mercy, and we receive it. Praise your name. Praise your name. In the name of Jesus, we just lift up every care represented in this house this evening, every need, every unspoken need, that which is just in the heart of between the believer and you. You know, for you know the heart. We would just lift all of those up to you, Lord, just asking that the Father's heart, the perfect will of the Father, would be done in each and every one of those situations. We'd lift up to you lack, need, confusion. Spirit of confusion, in the name of Jesus, we bind you, we cast you out. You have no authority, you have no jurisdiction in this house of God, in this fellowship of believers, in the name of Jesus. Glory. Thank you, Lord. There's no need too small, no need too big, no concern too minor, but what it's not important to you. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, as Harry brings the word to us this evening. We thank you. We will learn and benefit from it. It will prosper us and bless us. And we thank you, Lord, for the anointing upon Harry to teach. And we thank you that he'll declare it with boldness, authority, and confidence, and we'll receive it. Thank you so much, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen and amen. Okay, before I turn it over to Harry, I said this week I was going to try and have this little matrix of jobs and occupations and some ministry things that works good with the various motivational gifts. But I didn't get home from work today in time to quite get it done. So, sorry. you know, it's funny. Wednesday is the one day that I try to get out of there in good time. Guess which day I have the biggest battle in getting out of there in good time? Wednesday. That's right. That's the day I can count on the radio call at 2:59:59, you know. The crisis in the kitchen or whatever it may be. But you know what? I emerge victorious in every situation. So I have the authority and dominion everywhere I go, and everything I set my hand to is successful in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Harry, you ready?
Yeah.
Bring it on.
Okay.
I'm going to go over here, sit down, and be blessed.
God bless you. Thank you, Bob. It's amazing, isn't it? How, what a joy you get when you hear that Bob and Karen got their that horrible situation all straightened out. And only because of the Lord. He did it. He did it all. Praise God. Well, Bob has already prayed for me, and I think I'll accept the prayer that he just gave over me. And that is a joy too. So today we're going to talk about grits. Have you had your grits today?
No.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute. This may be a little strange way to start a lesson in the Word, but I'm sure you'll get the hang of it when we get into it. The grits I'm talking about is not the kind that we eat. Rather, it's the kind that rubs you the wrong way. Those are the kind of grits. Yeah. And sometimes it gets a little gritty. Yeah. The last couple of weeks, I've been doing some word work. And it's not the kind of work that I really enjoy. And it's refinishing dining room tables for my two for my sister, for my daughter, and one for ourselves. And I got into it, and I thought, oh, boy, that's messy. Especially stripping it off with that paint and varnish stripper. Oh! And it starts, it'll burn. I've got some plastic gloves and vinyl gloves, and it went right through those gloves and it just burnt that skin. And yet there wasn't a hole in the vinyl, so don't use vinyl, use rubber. And it's a little irritating, to say the least. But you know, when you get right down to the part where you start sanding, and you start finishing it, and you start seeing it smoothing off, And then you start applying paint thinner just to see how the wood's going to look. And you can, it'll give you all the mars and the divots and things like that. You see those things. And then you finally get that all sanded down and lightly sanded. And then you start putting on the veneer or the varnish. They come up with a new stuff that's called polyvinyl wipe-on. And it just wipes right onto the wood. And you use a little pad, piece of cloth, lint-free cloth. And, oh, man, when that goes on, you see that grain come out. Did I do this? You know, it's a good feeling. But then, it's a real joy to behold. When you think about this kind of work and you see what the people are not too far removed from this kind of analogy, are they? And how many of us need a new finishing? From the old existing lives, you know, we were into when we were young. In the beginning, my life was very rough. In fact, I was a log. And I certainly needed some work to apply to my little life. First came the saw to remove me from the life that I was into. And I was cut from that world and moved to another area. Then came the grits. The grits of life to remove the rough edges and shape me into something useful, piece of work. But that's only the beginning of my newfound life. Remember, the carpenter has not finished with me yet. Now I had to learn that there would be a few knots in that will need attention. Now I'm talking about the NOTS and the KNOTS. There's a few knots that you got to get rid of. You got to get them smoothened out. You got to bring that into the wood. There's some woods that, without the knots, would be dead, such as knotty pine. And that's what I was. I was a knotty pine. And with each situation that I got into, there was possibilities of aggravation, irritation, to be rubbed the wrong way. These are moments when the grit sticks in your craw and it bites a little deeper as you try to blow it off. And I went to the bank the other day, and I got out my ID, had my wallet out. The transaction went smooth. Left the bank drive-up window, and after I put everything away, I put my wallet on the passenger seat and drove home. When I got home, I couldn't find my wallet. And then I started thinking, now, wait a minute. I didn't leave it in. No, I had the wallet in my car. I couldn't figure where it went. So I finally found it lodged in between the seat, around the cables, around the mechanism for the handbrakes and all the rest of the stuff, and the seat mechanism, and it was lying on its edge, and you could not see it because it looked just like a couple of cables lying there. Well, to say the least, I was a little bit perturbed. And guess how many times I checked my pockets? You know how you do it? You keep patting your pockets, you keep looking around everywhere you've been, you know, you can't find it. That's what I call grit. That's the thing that's rubbed you the wrong way. After I got all that peeving and muttering done, I realized that this is something I was trying to get rid of. And I was getting perturbed by something that I want to get rid of. I don't need it. Because there's so many slivers in this board of mine. So many slivers. And they have to be removed so that the true grain will come through. And I want to have a grain in me that'll straighten me out and straighten my life to the point where I can be more of a better witness to the Lord, for the Lord. I know that this is just a small incident, but it shows me how easily I get annoyed when I let it. When I let it? How does that work? Well, what are some of the grits that so easily beset you? What are your pet peeves? Those are grits. Pet peeves. Now, I can go through a list of pet peeves, especially when I get behind the driving seat, the driver's seat, you know. Get in there and get in behind the wheel. And people that don't use those run-on lane or those freeway. Now, can't that guy just move right in? It's got a lot of spaces. But no, they got to stop, you know. And, you know, you just sort of, please, you know, move it. But how many times do they think about me doing something wrong, too? I have a neighbor across the street. He's also retired like I am. And we're talking about this, and we're all in the same boat. We were discussing the things that need to be done, and we were wondering why they become so many when we should be sitting back, drinking iced tea, and enjoying the good life in paradise. Retired. You know, it's supposed to be easy street. Well, Colorado is paradise, isn't it? So what's wrong with this whole picture? Why am I beset with so many little things? I heard that things go better with God. And here I am struggling with the old problems I had in the past. Same old stuff. And it's not getting any easier. They are still there. They come up all the time. Then I read that Jesus said, in this life you will have many trials and tribulations. Oh, goody. Just what I've always wanted. suntan lotion. You know, it's just to grit you a little bit deeper. Oh. I guess that's some of the grit that he was talking about, right? No, life isn't supposed to be easy. If it is, you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth and landed on a silk pillow. It's better for that I don't tell you how I arrived and how my life went when I was young and what I did. I'm not looking for sympathy, believe me. TLC would be fine, tender loving care. But when we read the story of the Apostle Paul, we find that he was beset by a lot more than what we might be able to handle. Just think of what he went through. 2 Corinthians 12:7, we see that he was given a thorn in the flesh to torment him. Now, there's a lot of controversy of what the thorn was. But he said that there was a spirit to buffet him. And what does that mean, to buffet him? Well, everywhere he went, he came against opposition. Deep opposition. Some of the stuff that we don't get, we have not even experienced. Maybe some of you have, and I might be speaking out of turn, but not very many of us have really felt the things that he's gone through. To buffet him. So, in other words, he had a lot of stones thrown in his way. And how many times was he thrown? And how many times was he stoned? How many times was he thrown in prison? What all did he go through? We can't even imagine. He's given up for dead a couple of times. That is coming against opposition. They're called heavy grits, real grits. The Lord told him that my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Wish I could grab onto that a little more seriously, a little stronger. Now, this lesson could be meant for me too. When I thought on this a few moments, I came to the conclusion that it was meant for me totally. I guess I'm not too old to learn. When we read about the old patriarchs and the many trials that we see that our Father is telling us to mind our ways and keep ourselves under constant surveillance. Pastor Bill just last Sunday talked about consider your ways. Because when you consider your ways and you think about the things that you allow in your life, you may find yourself thinking, well, I shouldn't have done that. Well, maybe I could have done that differently. And then when the log really falls down and says, this is what you should have done, you never did it. Why weren't you considering your ways? Why didn't you think of what you were doing? It takes a little time. I don't know how much time, because I'm 81, and what am I doing? You know, having all these crazy things that are happening. And yet, like last night, you know, last night I was preparing an extra page on this lesson and had it all written up, nicely done up, you know. And I moved the cursor over to the file, but right below that file there is a thing that says clear document. And I guess my cursor wasn't quite up to the file and hit the clear document and it was gone. Well, I got up, said a few things, and what's the file wrap? What can I do? Oh, man. What do you call that?
Grits.
Right on, Bob. And you know, it just gets you under, and here I am writing about grits. Well, I got them. Got it thrown at me, so I went in the kitchen, got a cup of coffee, walked around a little bit, muttered a few things, you know, just muttered around and okay, what am I going to do now? I said, I got to go back in there and do that again. Well, finally I got it done. Sat down, calmed down, put my mind at ease and said, okay, Lord, let's do it again. Let's go through it again. You know, I wonder about the old patriarchs. And then I thought, what about the patriarchs of today? How many of these old fellows that have gone through some tremendous things? They aren't that, you know, we read about the ones in the Old Testament. But the New Testament patriarchs are there too. How many people that you know about Dowie and all these other fellows that have gone through Africa and gone through China and done all kinds of tremendous work? And look at the opposition they came across. Unbelievable stuff. I mean, they were really getting ground on. When you think of these guys, when you think of these people, it will cause you to walk a narrow road. And as we walk this road, we'll see many opportunities to help others. People that need our help. Lending them a small assistance in some small way. We now come to a place where we will be expected to put forth effort that we didn't expect to come across. And the effort will need a special inner strength that we will need to exercise, and it's called grit. This grit, they made a movie of it, didn't they? True Grit. John Wayne, battling all odds. And he made a stand. He portrayed a man that did something that I understood that later on I heard that somebody said that it was actually based on a true story. And to make a stand like that, you'd need to have some good understanding of Scripture. And that'll fortify you in the time of adversity. It is, of course, necessary to have the strength to make that stand. A few quick references would be the following. Psalm 28:7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart, or spirit, trusts in Him, and I am helped. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Him who gives me the strength. 1 Peter 5:8-9. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. When I read that, I thought, wait a minute. I'm not suffering. I am really not suffering. I don't have that much adversity in my life. And I'm wondering, the adversity that I come across is all self-induced most of the time, taking on projects that maybe I don't know really how to do it. But I'm getting it done. I'm getting done. But I want to read you a story about a young woman named Lana. I received it in the mail yesterday. And I read this and I thought, here is something that we all need to hear. And it's a very, very strange story and some of the things that she's done. And you can see by the picture, this is a lovely young lady. On any given day, you could find joy running barefoot in the streets of a small border town in Thailand. She spent her time digging in the trash looking for recyclables to sell or beg in front of the local stores with her two-year-old sister on her hip. At the end of the day, she didn't bring enough money home for her parents to drink and gamble away. This little nine-year-old would be beaten. Because Joy was getting older and the two younger sisters who could beg, her mother thought it would be profitable to sell her to the traffickers. Now, you know what that means. So Joy was sold for $16 and was taken to Bangkok to be used for slave labor and prostitution. Miraculously, Lana Vesquez, a 2000 graduate of Rhema Bible Training Center, found out about Joy's situation just in time. The little girl's mother was only wanted money. So Lana, with Joy clinging to her leg, negotiated for a few hours. When the traffickers arrived to pick her up, they were too late. Lana pulled away with a relieved little Joy, whom she was able to purchase for $24. Another life was rescued. To continue the story a little further on, I want to read this to you, this part of her life. Lana and her team minister, Lana and her team minister to more than hurting children and families. God has opened doors for her to minister to the Taliban and other military groups. In one situation, she was asked to speak to a secret rebel army. Her audience was American hating, Christian killing, women raping, child kidnapping soldiers. But she, an American Christian woman working to save children from kidnappers, was invited to speak to the army by the army's general. Interesting. The Lord gave me a word, she recalled, and he said, "You are tormented at night from everything that you have done and from all your sins. Because of the rape and the murder, you cannot sleep at night. You see blood on your hands. The blood of Jesus is more powerful to wash away any blood on your hands. For once you will have peace and you will be forgiven for all your sins. The pure, the sinner's blood will wash away the blood that is on your hands." 150 Christian killing, rapist soldiers raised their hands right there with their weapons on the other hand and received Jesus that night. Lana said, "The wife of the general came up and grabbed the microphone. She said, 'I couldn't bend over because of the pain in my back. This Jesus you talked about healed me.' She showed all the soldiers how she could bend over. Then she said, 'We believe in this Jesus. He is the one that healed me.' The general told Lana, 'I know what we do is very dark, but we are soldiers. You brought a message of hope. For the first time, I have felt hope.'" That's just one child. That's one woman. One young woman. The grit to be able to stand in front of these people. That takes grit. That takes a lot of inner fortitude inside. The strength of that girl. I just sat there and I thought, what am I doing with my life? What have I accomplished for the Lord? I'm not berating myself. No. I have walked a path as close as what I thought Jesus wanted me to walk. He's led me to different places, and different doors open, different doors closed. But he had me doing what I did. I'm not ashamed of the things that I've done for him. No. I'm proud of it. I'm thankful. I'm grateful for the opportunity that he gave me. And I'm looking forward to better ones, bigger ones, whatever it takes. To stand up against all odds is something that some of us may never need to do. But if a time comes, from whence cometh your strength? The answer for most Christians, of course, will come with what we learned and know about our faith. Faith is something that Christians need to exercise as they go through their daily lives. You know, I've seen it a lot of times when I drive into the parking lot and it's raining. I think, okay, Lord, I need a parking spot that's close to the door. Where do I go? And he'll turn me around and go around the other way, and all of a sudden somebody's pulling out, and I pull in, and I got the thing right next to the door. I've done it. It's happened. I don't know. Marie has happened with her. Marie getting on the parking, getting on the freeway. Sixth Avenue is not her favorite place to drive, but she gets on it. But every time she goes, it's whew, big wide open spaces where I get right on the freeway, and away she goes. It's, he takes care of all the little things. Why not the big ones? Because the big ones, they cause us a little bit of uncalled for grits. This may sound silly, but it's not really. How many times have you got behind the wheel and prayed, Lord, help me to find this place or help me to get there safely? Take over the car. Put your angels around us. No. No matter how big the trip is or how small the trip is. But pray before you get behind the wheel. Learning to live with faith will start you on the road that will give you the grit to stand up for anything the enemy will throw at you. No, the Lord didn't promise you a rose garden, but he did promise a great reward when you finish your journey with strength and with courage and resource. It's always there. Know this, that without faith, your struggles will be a burden to you. I have seen that happen. Jesus said to take up your cross and follow him, and your yoke will become light and your burden will become easier. This means that you, when you set your teeth and face life with a determination to be an overcomer, you will be an overcomer. You will succeed. Because he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We all belong to a team of Christians that are always under attack. Even our present administration, federal, state, is not really an ally to our cause. This is an indication of what might be in store for us in the future. If you don't got the grits now, you ain't going to stand up for what you believe. And then, who's going to stand up for you when you need it? What about these miners in Chile? They're stuck in a mine thousands of feet deep below the surface. And after a couple of weeks, the villagers found out they're okay. They wouldn't get out until Christmas. That is going to take grit to get through that. They're going to have something in them. There'll be a leader among them. There's somebody who'll show up. And I read in the paper today that every one of those miners that are down there, there's 30, I think it is 30. 34 miners, yeah. Thank you, Don. They were offered 1,188 jobs. And I thought, oh, man. But they were everything from safety, whatever they want to get into, these guys have got a job coming up when they come out from out of that hole. Now, they're getting information back and forth. Their families are giving them support. They're sending them food and the things, all the necessities of life. It's amazing that they actually asked for toothbrushes. That was the first thing they asked for. It's good. But when you're in cramped quarters, I guess it needs it. Underarm deodorant. A few things. How about water just to wash up a little bit? But these guys are going to have a great story to tell when they come out. There's going to be some stories that will come out, and I'll guarantee you, there's going to be a lot of them that are going to profess Jesus Christ, help them to get through the whole thing. There are going to be some stories that people say, that's just, forget that, it's just talk. But I imagine there's going to be some miracle, miracle stories, miraculous stories. There will be a leader that will come out amongst them, and I pray for that leader. And he's going to have to keep up their spirits. He's going to have to keep their minds on other things. They're going to have to be, their minds are going to have to be directed in such a way that they'll be occupied with more than just being a prisoner in a hole. That is tough. I've been down in mines that are 3,000-4,000 feet deep. And when that elevator takes you down, you see this wall of rock is going past you. And you get down in that hole. And you think, you know, there's 3,000 feet of rock above me. Now, claustrophobia can really get to some people. I thank God that I'm not inclined that way. But I remember being down in a mine in Grant, in New Mexico. And talk about hot. We were up on the top there, and they gave me the ritual to go through about mine safety, da da da. And he gave me some felt boots. And I looked at these felt boots, and I thought, felt boots? Whew, why? Then he gave me a slicker with a felt lining. Then he gave me a hat with a felt lining. And I thought, this is getting a little ridiculous. I says, what's all this felt for you? I says, is it cold down there? He says, no, the opposite. You'll see. So stepped on the elevator, and down we went. The bell went ding, 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 and then we took off, and we went down. We were going down at a pretty good rate. Got down to the bottom, and we were walking along, and we started walking in water. And I could feel it on my face. I could feel the heat. And the guy says, I want to show you something. He says, I want you to be very careful that you don't put your hand here. All these things. And the big rubber gloves. And I'm supposed to look at some machinery down there. So I got down there, and he says, okay, I'm going to show you something. So he put the thermometer on the floor in the water. It read 175 degrees. 175. It's a uranium mine. And I asked him, I said, where did all this water come from? He says, it's a lake right above us. Yeah, a lake. So I said, well, a lake. And I said, okay, that's fine. And then I said, there's water coming out of this little fissure here, and the water's pouring out of this fissure, and this. And they're pumping this water out all the time. And I said, well, where's this water come from? And he says, well, it's from that lake. So he put the thermometer in there. And he says, look at this one. And I looked at it, and I said, nah, that can't be. 195 degrees. It cools off in the rocks. It's 175. We were there for 15 minutes. And he says, okay, come on. We got to get in the cool room. So we went in this room. All that cool air. Oh, it was beautiful. It was being blasted down from up on the surface. Guess what the temperature of the room was? 110. That's the cool room. I said, well, how do you guys live down here? He says, well, he says, believe it or not, he says, you do get used to it in a way. But he says, when you get up on top, he says, you get chilled. Because you're at 110 to 175. 110, man. That temperature is really hot. Anyways, these guys are down there, and they're working in this mine. And they had a machine down there, and they said, what we need is to enclose this thing. And maybe I could, maybe we could put some air conditioning on these machines. And I looked at this guy, and I thought, oh, man. I says, I'm sorry, but I says, the minute that you turn on your air conditioner in this humidity, that air conditioner will freeze up in 3 minutes. It'll be useless. I said, it won't work. And I couldn't figure out any other. They tried all kinds of things to get this, for the men to work 15 minutes and they got to get out of there. They got to start, they got to get back in the cool room. So, working down there, I thought, if anything ever happened down there with those guys, they're going to have a real problem. And they're going to have to stand up against some very great odds. I admired these guys. I couldn't believe it. And the walls weren't that, you know, the walls were about, I could touch each wall with my hands, 6 feet wide, and the roof was about 7, the ceiling of the cave or the tunnel. And they had this little railroad track. I think it was about 18 inches. And they had these ore cars going back and forth, you know, with the stuff in it, and then they're going to the elevator, and then shoot up and down and up and down. And I thought, there is some kind of enchantment. I was thinking about these guys in the mine in Chile. My goodness, these guys have got guts. They got grit. They stand up against some really bad odds. Now, some of them, they don't even think about it. But to people that, like you and I, up on that surface here, and we get a 91 or 99 degree day. Oh my goodness, that's hot! You know, turn on the air conditioner, get in the cool room. We have it so easy. It's almost sinful, isn't it, when you think about what the other people are going through, like Lana, like these guys in Chile. They come up against a lot of odds, big odds, and our little infinitesimal little problems are nothing compared to what they go through. These guys are going to take a lot of grit to survive, I'll tell you. It's a huge order that they're going through. I don't know. But there is one thing that you got to remember. God is there in the midst of the whole thing. Jesus is right there. The Holy Spirit is watching over these men. And some of them, he's in some of these men, and some of these men aren't. But there's going to be a change in every man that comes out of that place. They will be changed dramatically. And I pray that it's all for the good. Some are going to go stir crazy. That can be a real problem for a man. And especially for the other men that are with him. There will be some great stories. And they'll give honor to who is due. We'll see. Our nation is coming into some rough times. And the middle of the citizens is going to be challenged. We'll see what kind of grit they're made of when it comes to the point in our lives that depends on our answers. What do you believe? Who do you believe? Your answer may cost you your life. Father, only you know the end of our time and the frailty of our ways. So we ask you to give us the fortitude and the grit to bring us into your kingdom. Your spirit in us gives us the strength to face all obstacles by listening to the directions that only you can give. We get strength by knowing that you in us is giving us overcoming power. All praise, glory, and honor to you. We give to you in the majestic name of Jesus. Amen. Now, if any of you have anything to add to this about what you've got to stand up against, what is your conviction? What are some of the things that you've come up against that are causing you a lot more problems than what you really can handle? I know that some people have got some real odds against them. They're doing fairly well. In fact, I was working with Michael today. And Michael's overcoming a handicap, and we're working on a couple of big problems here and there in this one house. But I'm just there to hand him the tools and get the things that he needs for to get the job done. But I like working with him. He has a very good attitude. He hums and sings all day long. It never stops. Sometimes I want to know where that switch came on, you know, or turned on that switch. But Michael is a beautiful guy. And everybody that talks with him, they admire him. They like him. And our friend across the street, my friend, is Marla Gates. I've mentioned her many times about the radiation that she's going through now. And now that she's got all these problems in the house that need to be repaired, they need to be fixed. Hasn't been taken care of for many years, but I think of her and the grit that she's got. She's facing terminal cancer. The doctors are trying to radiate some of the stuff out of her body. Yet, when she and I were running around to different stores looking for some linoleum, she still had a sense of humor. Grit. That's grit. And I told her, I said, you know, I said, you're an inspiration to me. You're up against some big odds, yet you're coming through it with a sense of humor. She said, well, Harry, she says, there are times when I cry at night. But she says, you know, it doesn't get me anywhere, and I don't enjoy it. She says, it's easier just to make a joke and laugh it off. That takes a certain amount of fortitude. Where does her resource come from? It comes from the Lord. The Lord is really teaching her, showing her, and guiding her. So, folks, I just want to tell you that the most important part in our lives is to stand up against the odds that we are up against. Sometimes it's easier, sometimes it isn't. I know Maria has been going through some difficulties, and she's shown me a lot of grit. She's a determined woman. Thank God. And she's doing good. So I thank you for the prayers that you've given for Marie. The Lord hears, and the Lord answers prayer. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Harry. You know, we all need some grits. Huh? Yeah. And, you know, when we see like Harry and Marie and the way they have stood in their time of trial and their grits, it inspires us. It encourages us and lifts us up, doesn't it? Amen. You know, I know probably not many of you in here raise chickens. But, you know, if you raise chickens, not only do you have to make sure that they have some feed, but you got to make sure that they've got some of these little rocks to eat along with it.
That's right.
Because that's what then they use in their gizzards to digest and grind up their feed, and that's called grits.
Is that what they feed you with grits?
Yeah, different kind of grits. But not, the battery's about dead in that one. That's why it's doing that.
Doesn't want to shut off.
Yeah. You know, there are some people that are grits. I mean, there are some people that are sandpaper. And I don't mean the fine kind either. I mean like 30 grit, you know. And those people, when we encounter those, we need to keep in mind that they're a blessing to us. Because those gritty people will help knock the rough edges off of us. As abrasive and obnoxious as they are, I mean, you run your hand over some really coarse sandpaper, you know, and it's not pleasant. And if you're working with a machine, you know, and you get a knuckle or something up against some sandpaper that's on a machine of some sort, boy, It'll scuff you up just like that. But we need that grit if we're going to get our job done. As we go through life, you know, Harry started off talking about being refinished. You know, as we go through life, we get nicked. We get marked up by life. Look at a young couple. They get married. Several years down the road, perhaps, maybe they buy a new house. And then they have babies. And then you go along 15 years later through that house, look at the woodwork. And it's going to have a series of nicks and dings and bangs in it. And they start there. You can watch those nicks and bangs in the woodwork grow right along with the kids. Because, you know, here was the little push toy that they shoved around when they were just walking. And then there was the little tricycle and then the wagon. And it just goes on and up. And eventually, to get rid of that, well, you're going to have to refinish the woodwork. But you know what? Those marks provide character. You know, in wood, there's something called patina. And this is the coloration. It's literally a glow that wood has, and it can only be obtained by one way, and that's by age. You can't give it artificially. If you refinish an antique, if you're not very, very careful of how it's done, if it's not done by somebody who really knows what they're doing, it will destroy that patina. It will destroy 80, 90, 100 years or more of that glow that only age and experience could put into it. Those grits, they give us a testimony. They give us something to share. They give us something by which we can encourage younger ones with. You know, I may be a little nicked up, but I made it. And I still got my patina, too. I was out walking this morning. And my wrist was just stiff and aching and all of that. And I'm thinking, we got a change in the weather coming. That's usually what that means. That's a nick. But it turns out in the long run to be a blessing. It's a good weather forecaster, you know. Gives me a little patina. God is good. You know, everything that happens in our lives in the end works out for good, doesn't it? Because His Word promises it. It promises that He works all things for the good of those who love Him. Nicks, grit. We have to stand. We have to stand in faith. How long do we stand? Until we don't have to stand anymore. How long is that? Until you're victorious. Grit gives us character. Gives us patina. Hallelujah. Does anybody need prayer? You know, we don't leave here without taking care of any needs in prayer. So we don't want to overlook that. Glory to God. A couple Wednesdays ago, I gave you something to meditate on. Does anybody remember what that was? Oh, come on, it was a biggie. I preached a message on it. You did what?
No.
As long as you weren't sleeping during my sermon, it's okay. I'll give you a hint.
The
faithful shall abound with blessings. Now, I want to give you something. I want to give you another one to meditate on. The faithful shall abound with victory.
Amen. That's right.
Okay. So that should tell you, we got something coming down the road on Sunday. The faithful shall abound with victory. Meditate on that a little bit. I got to tell you, I'm a blessed man. You can't have an encounter with God and not be changed. And sometimes an encounter with God is some grits. That's right. You know, when the Holy Spirit brings conviction into your life, when the Word of God is showing you something you need to get straightened out, you know, it takes grits to go to a brother and say, you know, I've harbored this against you, or I need to talk with you, or something like that. It takes grits to do that. It takes grits to go before God and say, Lord, I was wrong. I repent. Forgive me. It's not an easy thing to do, but it's the right thing to do. Patrick, obviously you got something here.
Well,
I better get out the microphone for you here.
You know, you did ask for prayer, and so
Hallelujah.
I definitely do want to pray for this guy I was talking to, because I know that God delivered me through some of that stuff, and so I can believe for him that he can be delivered. You know, and he does stand on the foundation that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died for our sins. And so I think, you know, there is a foundation there, but there's a lot of confusion in his life. And so I just want to thank God for directing his steps to fall in the arms of Jesus so that he can find that safe place, the final resting place that he needs to be, in standing on the full truth and the full revelation of Jesus, and not just, you know, being confused, taking bits and pieces of the Bible out here and there. So anyway, just want to lift him up.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's all stand together. I know you all were comfortable, but you just need to stand together, honor the Holy Spirit. Let's just come together. Come together like family. This way, Richard. I know it's hard to tell where I'm coming from because I got the mic on, but that's okay.
Sound.
But there's no confusion in this house. Hallelujah. Marie, you know what a blessing it is to see what I'm seeing? A few weeks ago, we were going over there to join up with you because you couldn't get out of the chair. Now, you're walking over here to join with us. We just thank God for the grits that you have shown us. You truly are a blessing and an encouragement to us, both you and Harry. And we thank you, so much for your lives. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just bow together here as the family of God, brothers and sisters of Christ, in Christ. And we just bow before you right now. We humble ourselves before you. We give you our worship and our praise, Lord. We exalt you. We exalt you. We give you that supreme place in our lives that you deserve, Lord. Oh, Father, we thank you. We thank you for the easy time. We thank you for the grits. As tough as they can be sometimes, we thank you for them, Lord. They strengthen us. They encourage us. They build us. And they give us a testimony. Oh, I just thank you, Lord. As every one of us, as we go through our daily walk, and the situations that we come up against, those things that would challenge us, those things that would threaten us and even scare us if we would let them, we declare victory over them in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you, Lord, for that walk of faith, for the righteous shall live by faith. And we thank you, Lord. We are all living epistles. We all have a story to tell. And we thank you that that story is praise for you. Gives you glory. Gives you witness, Lord, and encourages others. And shows them what the God of heaven and earth can do in one person's life. They can do it in one life. They can do it in every life. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, as we wrap up our time here this evening again. I just say that everyone in this room is blessed. Is blessed, is faithful, and the faithful abound in blessings, and the faithful abound in victory. And we're seeing victories in this congregation every day. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' most holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.